Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Your guy, LeBron James.
Well, speaking of getting your butt kicked.
Yes.
The Lakers have been doing plenty of that. I mean, they've been close in these games, but the bottom line is they're 2-5. They just lost last night to Minnesota, a Minnesota Timberwolves team that is without Andrew Wiggins, or was without Andrew Wiggins.
Wait,
and they're not lighting the world on fire either. They're 3-4.
They had lost. They had been blown out by 30 points the previous game.
Yeah, I don't say they're not playing well. We know they've got all types of drama with Jimmy Butler.
Right.
Karl Anthony Towns hasn't been playing up to his normal standards. But they had enough to beat LeBron and the Lakers. And LeBron said already, we're only 7 games in. They're 2-5. But it seems like his patience may be wearing thin. Here's LeBron after the game.
At what point does that patience run out? And what do you look like as a leader when your patience does run out?
You probably don't want to be around when my patience run out. I'm serious.
And he said he's serious because people started laughing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think he cracked a smile afterwards as well. But what do you make of this, Rob? Like, already 7 games in? I think this is how most people expected it to start. If you go back to his, you know, first month in Miami, actually longer, first 2 months in Miami, first couple months in Cleveland, they started slowly. And those teams had a lot more talent, and they were playing in the weak Eastern Conference.
I'm glad you mentioned that point about the weak Eastern Conference.
Which is actually getting stronger now.
Right, but the Western Conference, and that's the problem. But this is the only thing I have to say. This is to LeBron James. Why are you mad talking about you don't want to see me when my patience runs out? You are the Dr. Frankenstein of this team. This is you put this together. You signed off on you wanted some tough guys to be able to go up against the Warriors. So there's the cast-offs that they brought in. Lance Stevenson, Rajon
Michael
Rondo.
Beasley, who wasn't even there yesterday for personal reasons.
Right.
I wonder what that is, right?
Here we go
again. He wasn't getting much playing time.
Right.
So, yeah.
So Beasley and all these guys. And then he has the kids. So you knew what you signed up for. I don't know in the world how you better have patience because this is the concoction you put together in the tougher Western Conference. And basically, you're looking at, and then people say, well, Rob, you're overreacting. You know, they were in every game. They could have won every game. No, that's why you brought LeBron here. You can't go and lose to these teams that they lost to last year without LeBron and then act like it's okay to lose because, you know, they're young. No, LeBron's here now. This is supposed to be the difference maker. And the other part is, and people should be really, really honest with themselves. Chris, you can't dig yourself that big of a hole. I know it's early, but you can't. That Western Conference was jumbled up last year, right? We're two games
separated. They're two games out of the playoffs right now.
I mean, and do you want to be a seventh or eighth seed and then have to play the Warriors in round one and be a road team? You think you're getting out of the first round? Even if you make the first round, you got to be like a top four team in the Western Conference to give LeBron a chance at there being a second round or making real movement.
You're making sense. I'm not going to disagree with too much of what you're saying, but I am going to call you out a little bit on this note. I like the fact that LeBron is already showing some concern, a little bit of anger, because you know good and well, if LeBron James has sat there last night in front of his locker and been like, hey, you know, my teams have started slow. When I join a new team, it takes time to get acclimated. We'll be all right. It's a long season, all that. You would have been the first of many to say, see, I told you he didn't come to L.A. for basketball. He came here to be Meryl Streep. He's got his Hollywood gigs. The shop is working. You know, he's to shut up and dribble. He's going to be in Space Jam. All is going well for LeBron. He didn't come here to win. He came here for an early retirement, so he's not concerned about basketball. You know I'm right.
I'm going to share this with you. I got a text last night after LeBron's press conference, and it was from Meryl Streep. She said the performance he put on for the reporters was unbelievable last night, that he actually cares. She said he should be nominated. And Meryl,
so you think he doesn't care?
I know he made it like, hey, you know, this is 2-5 and we whatever. But I still say, I'm not saying he didn't come to not play at all, but his number one priority was being in L.A. and all the other stuff that comes. And I think he gave up this year as far as the team that was put together, the idea.
LeBron, well, he didn't LeBron, know they weren't winning.
Right. LeBron has always competed to win.
Right.
And I give him credit for that.
Right.
All right?
Since 2007,
right?
When they shocked everybody by beating Detroit.
Right.
And getting to the finals. Ever since then, every single year for him has been championship or bust.
Even last year, when you think about that team, when he traded half the team at the trade deadline, LeBron James is the worst general manager in the NBA. Let's just say it. Last year was bad.
He hasn't been, because he was very instrumental in getting these guys. He wanted, like you say, he wanted dogs. He wanted guys he thought could switch
push
defensively.
And push around.
Playmakers.
Right?
Yeah, be
push
tough
around
and
the
get
Warriors.
Physical with the Warriors. And it's just a mismatched team. But all that said, Rob, we do have to admit they've been in every game against playoff teams in the West, and LeBron hasn't closed.
What have I told? Right, but LeBron hasn't played nearly up to par.
Not to his level. He's playing well, but no.
To his standard.
He has not been the best player in the world.
No,
and I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to make a definitive statement after 6 games or 7 games and say he's no longer the best player in the world, but the jury may be out this year. If he continues to play like this, and guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, if they continue to play as they are, he's not going to be the best player in the world this year. And it look, it happens. I don't think any player has ever been the best player in the world in their 16th year.
No.
So at some point, Father Time is coming for him.
And Father Time's undefeated. It happens to everybody. I don't care how good you are, what condition you're in, what shape you're in, all that. 877-99 on Fox is the number.
Give us a call, 877-996-6369, if you want to weigh in on the Lakers and LeBron James and their slow start.
But I'm saying this is LeBron's fault. This is the team that LeBron put together. You can't have it both ways. No way did Magic put that team together without consulting LeBron and the players he wanted. And LeBron is supposed to be the difference maker. He's supposed to be the closer.
I can't disagree with
that. All
those
games were close, Chris, in the last 6 minutes, LeBron's supposed to force his will on the game and steal one. Go to San Antonio and win a game. You know what I mean? Go to Minnesota. Minnesota wasn't playing that great that they couldn't pull off
Jimmy
a win
Butler
there.
Jimmy Butler took over the game.
Yes,
right.
That's what LeBron is supposed to do. And so far, and they got the one big win over Denver when they were undefeated. But other than that, it's been pretty pedestrian and pretty bad for the Lakers.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Rob, it was a great commercial to promote Sunday Night Football that came out this week.
Uh-huh.
Michael Jordan, who most of us believe, certainly you and I believe,
anybody sane in this country,
right? The greatest basketball player of all time, and he plays off of that to talk about Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady facing off in Sunday Night Football this upcoming weekend. But
which is a rare thing.
Right,
those guys haven't played
since 2014. I don't believe
they don't play that often,
right? So let's hear the Michael Jordan commercial.
A lot of talk going on these days about who is the greatest ever, about who has the titles, the raw talent, the most clutch moments. I get it. It's a tough call. I mean, even the jersey numbers are the same. But maybe the best way to settle this debate is to play it out head-to-head.
All right, and of course, he was not talking about him and LeBron James, but he was talking about Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. And what threw, I'm sure what got a ton of people was when he said even the jersey numbers are the same.
Right.
Because LeBron wears the 23.
Even though he wore six like in Miami, right?
Right, right, yeah. But he wears the 23 now. But the interesting thing, one of the interesting things was that LeBron responded on Twitter and said, I'm ready. I'm paraphrasing the rest of it, but the direct quote is, I'm ready. And then he said, oh, I thought you were talking about me. Never mind, I'll go back to my regular scheduled programming. But I was surprised. LeBron threw himself in the GOAT conversation. And to be honest, this really isn't the first time. We know a few years ago, remember, he came out at his camp and he said, I'm chasing that ghost
right
in Chicago. He has said he should be on the Mount Rushmore. I believe that was a sit-down interview with Steve Smith NBA Network.
I'm always like, that's not for you to say.
I'm kind of with you.
And I'm just, greatness, other people determine that. It's not, LeBron, you're great. You don't have to say I should be up there. The people who determine that and the people who have watched you, they come up with that. That just should never be a thing. I always...
Now, the one exception who we all know and love is Muhammad Ali.
No, but that was different because...
And Floyd Mayweather's actually does it too.
But I thought that was like a part of the selling of boxing. I'm the greatest. You know what I mean? Like, I never looked at
it. It was a part of his shtick.
No,
and a lot of people didn't like him.
No, for that reason.
Blacks didn't like him. Like, my father,
when he didn't like him, right.
Most blacks want him to get his block knocked off.
Because he talked too much, and he bragged, and he boasted. You're right.
Once he backed it up, especially once he stood up, against the Vietnam War, that's when people started loving
him. Right, but you see what I'm saying? I looked at that more of a shtick rather than... I'm the greatest boxer, and you should put my picture up, or you should put me on Mount Rushmore. LeBron, I think, gets too carried away with that. You don't have to say it. When you're that good, Chris, you don't have to say it. Other people will say it for you. It just looks cheesy that you're trying to convince somebody. No one should have to convince anybody about your greatness.
I'm kind of surprised that, no matter how you feel about him saying he's great, essentially, I'm just surprised. Like, by tweeting that out, he puts himself above Kareem, above Kobe, above Shaq, above Magic, above Bird. Now, like you said, I think he's the second best player of all time, and I believe you do too.
Right.
So we've done that. But for him to come out, like Michael Jordan, I don't believe has ever said he's the GOAT. I've talked with Mike about it. He says it's too hard to determine.
Right.
This is off the record. Like, this isn't for a story. He's just told me it's hard to compare eras. Like, he hasn't come out and been like, I'm the GOAT.
But don't you appreciate that even Michael Jordan and all his greatness ain't out there like, I'm the best player ever.
Yeah, you let other people say that. It's just, I wonder how, because Kobe kind of, we teased it.
He threw his name in there.
He put his name in there. I don't think he went this far, but he did put his name out there. Give us a call, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. What do you think about this, LeBron basically throwing himself in the GOAT conversation? If you want to defend him, Rob, I guess you could say, heck, that's what everybody's talking about. I hear it just like everybody else. They're always talking about me versus MJ, that's why I'm responding to.
But it doesn't mean that you have to put yourself up there. I just think that's for other people. When you're great, it's unspoken. You don't have to say anything. People will recognize talent and put you in the proper place. Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm with you. That's certainly, what is more polite. But I'm not going to kill him because I don't kill Muhammad Ali.
I don't think Floyd Mayweather. I think Ali's different.
But in reality, it wasn't different. Like,
I think that's a part of boxing.
Showmanship. What other boxer does it?
No, but I'm just saying.
Other than Floyd.
But showmanship, he was different with the rhymes and the Howard Cosell and putting himself out on Front Street to get noticed.
But it was even more about, so, I'm he pretty. Still said
I'm,
it.
I'm pretty.
He was pretty. He was great.
Nah,
but Rob, I think, I mean, I, look, you grew up as a kid watching Ali just
Ali.
Like I did.
I watched him.
So we all love him. By the time you and I were really watching him, people had accepted the shtick.
No,
like
they
that,
got
you know
it.
What I mean?
I got it.
But the bottom line is it's not that much different.
I think there's a little difference.
Look, we certainly would be talking about LeBron. He would be great. He would be tremendous. He would be a superstar in any era, including the Michael Jordan era.
No doubt about that. I don't think he couldn't play back in the 90s.
Oh, he would have been.
He would have just had to.
Let's be honest. He would have been the second best player in the league.
He would have just had to deal with what Michael went through. I covered that. I was covering the NBA in those days. You just dealt with it because that was the game.
You're talking about the physicality.
Yes.
Well, look, LeBron would have adapted.
That's what I'm saying.
He would have, just like if Michael Jordan were playing today.
He would be averaging 55.
He'd be a far better three-point shooter.
He would be because he would adapt to that game.
Even toward the end of his career, he started shooting the three better.
And you remember when he first came into the NBA, he wasn't. He was a dunker.
Yeah.
And then when they played the defense on him, right?
But he was a dunk. Deep jump shooter.
And then he became a really, really good jump shooter.
Yep. Post-play.
Yes, because he had to.
Yep.
He adapted.
But I think LeBron, I think the caller might be getting at this. I do think Jordan would have been the best player. And he would have kept LeBron from winning championships just like he kept everybody else from winning championships. Jordan just had that killer. Jordan had everything.
When you list the people that didn't get a championship during that era,
right.
That's amazing.
He was fundamentally sound. He was as athletic as they get. He was a smart player. He could do everything skill-wise. There was no weakness, not foul shooting, not defense, not jump shooting, not going to the basket, finishing. He could play within a system. You know, he didn't dominate the ball, didn't over-dribble. He shot a lot. But he didn't just dribble it for 10-15 seconds like a lot of these guys, including LeBron, tend to do. So Michael Jordan would have kept LeBron from winning some championships.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Rob, we just had a great guest. Gotham Chopra talked about Shut Up and Dribble. That's his new docuseries on Showtime. I just wanted to say why I believe it's important for African-American athletes to speak out because non-blacks or maybe white Americans don't see the need for it.
Right.
You know, like, well, we don't ask Clayton Kershaw or Mike Trout to be outspoken on political and social issues. Well, let's just be honest. The histories and contemporary situation of African-Americans is completely different from that of white Americans. And black athletes are, because they dominate sports, they are the most powerful, most beloved, most irreplaceable African Americans in this country. When LeBron James could do, if he knelt down during the anthem like Colin Kaepernick, some people, of course, might not like it, but he certainly wouldn't be blackballed. And the league wouldn't do anything about it, even though it's their rule you have to stand. What would they do?
Which still,
they wouldn't do a thing.
I'm still upset that the players agreed to that.
Right. But
I am.
But you get what I'm saying. Like, they are loved because sports are so big in this country. They are loved by all races of people in America.
Yeah, but
so they have a clout to speak up. They're irreplaceable.
Right, but it doesn't mean that there wouldn't be pushback. I mean, it could still be pushback, but I know what you're saying.
No, there could be pushback, but it might be pushback, but it's not going to be getting rid of.
You can't
find a white LeBron James.
No, but you can't. The same thing, and the player, it's about clout. LeBron's on a different plateau than Colin Kaepernick.
If this was Colin
Kaepernick coming off the Super Bowl appearance with the 49ers, it would be totally different. Would you agree with that?
Well, that's why I thought immediately when he began kneeling, I felt it was more courageous.
No doubt about it.
Because he was replaceable.
Because he wasn't the star.
They could have cut him. He was coming off the bench.
Right.
They could have cut him, and nobody would have thought twice about it. So I actually gave him more props for his courage in that situation.
I think you're right from the standpoint that too often in the black community, people who have quote-unquote made it or been like stars or whatever have turned their back on the black community.
Yep.
And assimilated more so. And, you know, there's that famous, I'm OJ, I'm not black, I'm OJ.
OJ was, right, let's just face it.
Was one of those guys.
I was
guys.
A fan of him as a running back, but he was a complete sellout.
Right.
OJ.
And so that's where a lot of that came from. And as much as we talk about Michael Jordan, what a great player he was, Michael wanted no part of any kind of controversy. And I know he never said it. It's like a, you know, one of those, what is it called? The urban legend that he said Republicans buy sneakers too. I guess he never really said that, but that was what he was, you know.
That was the implication of it. Yes,
because he wouldn't go to a rally or a dinner for a guy who was running against Jesse Helms in North Carolina.
Here's the thing, though, I'd say about Michael Jordan, because you're right, he does get this rap of he didn't want to speak out, and he didn't speak out. However, there's different ways to skin a cat. Him becoming the first African-American owner in the National Basketball Association, that's huge.
No,
because we need that type of power. It's not just about speaking out and you know, challenging the man, if you will.
But
it's also about creating business opportunities.
I get that.
And all that. And he's done that.
But what is the saying? You would know better than I in the Bible, for much who is given, much is
required.
Required.
To whom much is given, much is required.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's all. And I'm not saying he has to get on a soapbox for every issue, but there are issues
Look at Michael preaching.
You like, you know that, right? Michael could have done a couple other things. And even if you remember early Tigers, first commercial was Nike, was about golf courses that wouldn't allow him to play.
Yep.
So they got to him and altered his course.
Right.
But the original Tiger Woods was more about that social issue. And I always remember the one that I always thought that Tiger should have stood up for was the one where they didn't allow women members at Augusta.
Right.
And that's where Tiger, we're not asking to get up and stand up, but if Tiger Woods would have said, if you guys aren't going to allow women to play here, right, be members here, then I'm not going to play at Augusta again, he would have been able to alter.
Yeah.
Because history. There was no golf without Tiger back then.
No question.
And if Tiger said he wouldn't play there until they accepted female members, I guarantee you.
No question.
They would have taken female members.
No question.
So
and
that's powerful.
We can make a strong argument that black athletes have done as much. We can make an argument that they did more for the civil rights movement than our civil rights activists, because they were so beloved. They endeared themselves to all of America because of their great sports ability, and that changed a lot of views of people just because they were such great athletes. It's the iCouple Fox Sports Radio. Keep it locked.